This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Time keeps on slipping. Into the future. We are one-way time travelers here at Free Talk Live. What's the telephone number here?
603-283-6160.
I thought you guys
were you were supposed to do the 616. Come on.
You guys were going to Rochambeau for it or something. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see who won that.
Rochambeau for it.
Studio fight!
Fight.
As a male, I think I could take her. Simply
she does
for being male.
Kickboxing and yoga.
I've got experience in this.
I am quite a grappler.
Ooh.
Challenge accepted.
In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
What were we talking about?
Grappling.
No, like, I mean...
Dogs?
Show. Oh, yeah, the story about...
Weed dogs.
The argument coming from government is, we have to keep weed illegal so that we can maintain employment of the drug-sniffing dogs. Seriously, that's their argument. This is from the Free Thought Project. Minnesota. In a stunning display of misplaced priorities, some Minnesota politicians appear to be more concerned about the jobs of drug-sniffing dogs than the lives of humans impacted by cannabis prohibition. As the push for cannabis legalization in Minnesota gains momentum, it seems the well-being of these canines has somehow become a primary argument against it. Minnesota's House of Representatives recently passed a bill to legalize non-medical marijuana for individuals 21 and older, with a vote of 71 to 59. However, Republican State Rep. Brian Johnson, not to be confused with the former singer of AC/DC, voiced his concerns over the costs associated with retiring police dogs trained to sniff out cannabis.
What, did they get a pension?
Yeah,
we put them in early retirement. We got to pay their pension out for leaving longer.
Maybe that's one of their slush funds for the cops or something. They're like, yeah, it's a retirement for the canine unit. And then they go spend it on hookers and blow or whatever.
Yeah, more than likely.
The confiscated blow and confiscated hookers.
Apparently, the default state of unemployment for dogs is a problem that should hold priority over human freedom and well-being.
What is the default state of unemployed dogs?
Oh, that is the default.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, the default state of unemployment for dogs is a problem.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. I did not see anything reading through the bill dealing with our canine units, Johnson said. Can you tell me how much money is in this bill to help defer the cost to our counties and police departments for the cost of the retirement of the dogs?
I mean, it's not like they would have to retire because there are other drugs that wouldn't be legalized under this bill, I'm assuming. So,
do you want them sniffing the heroin? Getting hopped up on the meth?
Those are the other drugs that they'd be sniffing out, right?
Okay. In theory.
Yeah. Sure.
Seems like
so they wouldn't even have to retire. It seems like they're just BSing over here.
I would assume that marijuana is the number one thing that they
probably
detect, quote unquote.
How many years of service does a dog have to give before he's allowed to retire? Like, they don't even live that long.
Yeah, I think it's 5 or 10. I don't remember. And I think it varies from state to state, too, a little bit. But you're right. There is some period of time. Like, a dog has to be of X amount of age before it, you know, and it has to be trained and all that kind of stuff before it can become a drug-sniffing dog, a member of the force, if you will.
Yeah.
And then also there's a time frame on, like,
puppy labor going on.
On how long they can do it. They can only do it for such a period of time before they, you know, they got to be recycled or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. and like not even retired. Like this article will get into it. There's this same type of argument was made, I think, in California, where they said something along the lines of, and this article we'll talk about it a little later, but they said something along the lines of, well, if you legalize marijuana, we're going to have to kill all the drug dogs.
I mean, not necessarily.
I'm okay with that. That's the police dogs.
That's what they said. Oh. Yeah, they're going to have to put them down. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You... No, I'm sorry.
You should do that to all cops.
And honestly,
they don't even do that to racehorses anymore. It used to be they turn, yeah, you know, turn old racehorses, turn them into glue or whatever. No, okay. they send them off to, like, be, you know, horseback riding, yeah, horses and, like, you know, other assorted things.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some of the police officers would even not mind adopting some of these dogs because they usually get rather close to them, from what I hear.
Yeah.
They're also abusive to,
yeah,
the dogs.
Yeah, they're going to, you know, if you think.
I mean, is that.
If you think police are abusive to their wives, wait till they get a dog that can't, you know, really, like, you know, go to their superior officer and be like, hey.
Well, I'll adopt one.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's already trained and everything.
We'll get more.
Find my drugs for me when I lose them.
I'm not bringing a narc into the household.
Hey, dog, where did I leave my weed? Yeah. Woof, it's over here. He's behind the couch.
He's stoned.
We'll get more into this story, but first let's go to, is it Major Pine in Michigan?
Yes, the Corporal of Clarity, the Sergeant of Sanity. This is Major Payne.
Wow.
Sound remarkably sober today, Major. What's wrong?
That's how I got the other titles out.
Oh, I have, must be Sunday.
Oh, it is.
It's one of them blue rules, you know? I've rolled myself back 30 years into history. I can't buy liquor on Sunday no more. It's against the law.
Drunk Saturday, hungover Sunday, sober Monday to get back to work on time?
Oh, no, no, no. Oh. You know, this Joe is really going to the dogs, so.
Oh, boy.
Well, come on now. As far as the shepherd thing, you're right. All of the herding dogs are very intelligent.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't see no stupid lassie, right?
I didn't.
And border collies are just amazingly smart. And they used to use Rottweilers in Scandinavian countries to babysit their children.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one the captain said was banging his head against the wall, wasn't it?
Man, I just said shepherds were smarter than Rottweilers. I didn't say Rottweilers weren't kind.
No, they're thick-headed. I mean, it's like a pig. If you know, you better build a good fence you want to keep him in.
Go on.
They are thick-headed. I mean, if you ever have seen a big Rottweiler, they got a head damn near the size of a cinder block.
Yeah, I knew a Rottweiler named Rommel.
That's a great name.
It was, I'm trying to remember, it was over 80 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's a pretty hefty dog. It stood taller than most and was just a gentle giant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wouldn't hurt a fly. Had a
bark
bigger than Tahiti. You know, like, it barked and, like, it was like E.F. Hutton. Everybody listened.
I don't know that scale of, like, size comparing it to Tahiti.
Let's just say the bark carried for quite a distance.
Oh, okay.
And was loud. Yeah. Like, everything, whoa.
But Tahitians.
Jeez, you know. Sorry.
Yeah, they put 3 W's on the woof of that dog.
www.woofwoof.org.
Long woof. But anyway, did I ever give David from New Mexico a piece of my mind last night? I don't remember if I ever got
it.
Well, okay,
well, you can again if you want.
Oh, don't encourage him. We are on Free Talk Live now, though, so that's fine. If you want to
keep it PG,
I just hope you aren't summoning him as all. You probably are, but go ahead.
Well, he's gonna call anyways.
Yeah, I probably am.
But anyway, he called in twice. I think Friday and Saturday, or maybe it was Thursday and Friday, and he called himself Major Pain in the Arse. I won't even say the word he used. Right.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, like, how would you feel if I called in and called myself Captain Kiss-Ass? Right? That's just not cool.
I mean, I've heard it all, so I'm, you know, haters gonna hate, whatever.
Well, I know, I want him to take his parasitic fangs out of my arse, so to speak. Right? Get your own mantra.
I think we covered most of this in Beard Talk Live, that You're letting David live rent-free in your head, and you should stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, Trump does a little bit of that, too. You know what's in the news on him? This woman that's trying to sue him for a rape back in, like, 94 or 95. She can't even remember the year, much less the month. She can remember enough to spend 3 days on the stand testifying to the particulars of the rape.
Yes.
And counsel asked her why she didn't scream. I mean, this is the dressing rooms in a major hotel or,
I'm going to let Nikki take this one.
And the walls are paper thin, for Pete's sakes. And she says, well, I'm not a screamer. And you know what popped into my head?
That's why you get raped.
Well, you must be a pisser and a moaner.
Oh,
you're certainly doing both of them now. I mean, if you can spend 2.5 days on the stand describing the particulars of a rape, shouldn't you be able to remember what year
All
it was?
Right. So I'm
or
not.
September or whatever? Come on.
I'm not typically in the habit of, like, victim blaming or not believing women when they claim certain things. Obviously, there have been a lot of cases of women, you know, making up lies for whatever reason, so I'm not saying that's out of the realm of possibilities. But I just don't know if this happened, you know, however many years ago in the 90s or where, whenever it was. I don't think it's, like, it's not unbelievable that she couldn't believe the exact, like, minute and date and year that this happened.
Right.
And she might be able to recall the details a little easier. So I don't think that's necessarily means for, like, discrediting her claims.
Yeah.
Whether her claims are true or false, I can't say because I wasn't there. And if it is false and she's, you know, falsely accusing him, then that's very unfortunate. Because no one deserves that.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to say in these cases
where it's, you know, 30 years later and you're bringing something up against somebody who's obviously some sort of a public personality.
Yeah, it's kind of like a little suspicious.
Only in New York state law, too, that this could fly under. I said this is only a New York state law that this could fly under.
Okay.
Bringing something like this up 30 years later.
Okay. I mean, like, I got hit by a car 7 years ago. Right. The further away I get from the event, the harder it is for me to remember the date that the event happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to think about it. Like, when was it? It was like, it was 2016. Yeah. Okay, so sometime in 2016, it was like somewhere around my birthday, so it was in February somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I can pinpoint it.
Yeah.
But the 30 years, man, like, who's going to remember that specific?
I personally suffer from what I can only describe as a numerical deficiency. Right? And that is to say that I can remember events, I can remember faces, but the numerical things related to an event escape me. For example, I know that I went and saw Judas Priest with Megadeth opening for them.
Sounds awesome.
On the Painkiller Tour, Judas Priest's Painkiller Tour, one of their best albums, when they just got a new drummer who was on fire. Hang on. So I went and saw Judas Priest, Megadeth opened for him. It was the night that Desert Shield turned into Desert Storm, Gulf War 1, Bush 1. I could tell you that it was in January. I can tell you that it was at the Toledo Sports Arena in Toledo, Ohio. I can't tell you the date, and I can't tell you the year. I can also tell you that a friend of mine, Brett, has a birthday on this particular date.
But you don't know what the date is.
And I don't know what that date is.
Yeah.
So, like,
so
numbers.
Forgets that and his friend's birthday.
Wow.
Numbers, for whatever reason, escape me.
And that's pretty common. A lot of people have that same thing.
Whereas, like, the event itself has not. I can remember the event. I can remember the opening act. I can remember where I was, the approximate time of year, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I can't tell you the date. I can't tell you the time. I can't tell you it was 32 years, whatever it is, that, like, just for whatever reason, the numbers escape me.
Right, so something as traumatic as, you know, a rape scenario, right? You can easily recall some of the details of what happened during that event, but 30 years later, not quite sure where, you know, where.
As far as trying to prosecute him for this, it kind of, to me, doesn't make sense because you would think, you know, unless it was maybe a child, like if someone was very young at the time, they couldn't, like, you know, maybe that's a different circumstance. But if she was already an adult at the time, it just kind of feels like if this is, you know, 30 years ago, what is the point almost? Because you have to think,
well,
in 30 years, in 30 years, people change a lot, right? So there's that.
Yep.
And then if he was to be punished for it, you'd think it would be best to do it right away for whatever rehabilitation BS they try to say.
Well,
the prison system, you know.
I have to take all of this kind of thing with a grain of salt because, number one, it is politically motivating, right? Or can be politically motivating.
Almost assuredly in this case it is.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's part of a dog and pony show, in my opinion, to get people to, you know, to get the pitchfork people upset with the torch people.
Yeah.
So that they, you know, either pitchfork or torch each other instead of the people in charge.
But aside from the accusation, right, if they were to prosecute, the only thing they have is her testimony.
Yeah, like there's no evidence.
And they have to weigh that against his lack of testimony, if he chooses not to testify, and figure out how credible she is, right? And as you pointed out with your questioning, Major, right, any good defense attorney is just going to call into question every little aspect of it until the jury goes like, nah, no, it's not as credible as you think it was.
Major?
Well, the thing is they've been headhunting this man so long, this just seems like another, you know, empty thing. I mean, they've been attacking Trump. I don't know why the Democrats are so scared of this man. Because, they stole the election. That might have something to do with it.
They're not. This whole election thing is just like watching professional wrestling. Right, it's the bad guys versus the good guys, and when the TV cameras are off, you know, when they're not having a congressional hearing about somebody 30 years ago that, you know, may or may not have had some sort of interaction with, you know, one of the politicians involved, when the cameras are all turned off, they all hang out together, they all party together, they all go out for drinks and have dinner or whatever. They're all part of the same thing. They're just creating an illusion.
Yeah.
Of, you know, some sort of process to continue the tyranny and the slavery which we're all subjected to.
And sometimes they let that out because you can find pictures of, like, Clinton and Obama and all the Bushes hanging out together.
Cocktail party, they're cheering each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the old days when they still rode horses and buggies and Congress actually had to, They'd assemble for 2-3 months, you know, and they'd share dinners in hotel rooms. But things worked out a lot better back then. There wasn't so much money involved. And the time I speak of is the last time the budget was balanced during the Jackson administration.
Yeah.
Andrew Jackson was the last man to balance the budget. We've been paying off
the national budget, sure. Yeah, but even so, like, the point is that the organization known as government is nothing but an organization of tyranny. That's it. That's all they do. They tyrannize everybody. They only have one tool with which they do anything, and that is violence. The threat of violence, the threat to throw you in a cage, the threat to kill you if you resist, if you don't comply with whatever the heck it is they want you to comply with. That's the only thing that they have.
I know you guys strive on, you know, nonviolent principalities and whatnot, but when it comes right down to it, evil does not accept peace.
Well, that would be self-defense, though, would it not? You know, I mean, if we're being actively attacked.
Right, which is why it's not the nonviolent principle. It's the non-aggression principle.
Exactly. Right. You know, it's like, I'm not going to aggress on you unless you aggress on me. And then maybe we'll have a different story.
And if and that's what happens. They take us out one by one.
Well,
if we're not assembled.
To that extent, though.
We need the militia.
To that extent, though.
We need the militia.
To that extent. Government actually violates the non-aggression principle on individuals every day.
Which is why you should always be able to defend yourself against a government agent of any kind.
Yeah.
Well, we're right back to the German Shepherd and the Rottweiler then, ain't we?
I mean,
I don't know how you got back there, but sure.
No, I'm serious. A buddy of mine, and I'll tell you another interesting story, a buddy of mine, two of them, really, a buddy of mine taught me how to use the handler. You fool the handler, not the dog. He actually smuggled some marijuana pot up into Canada years ago. right?
Yep.
And what he did was in his cooler, he had like some barbecued pork chops or chicken or something wrapped in some tinfoil. And then he had a store-bought package of hamburger underneath on top of the ice bag, right? Well, what he'd done is he'd put like a quarter ounce of marijuana pot. He's only going to be up there for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He stuck it up underneath the hamburger. So when the dog first started sniffing the chicken, and then he pulled the chicken out, and the dog went even more crazy. He thought he was going for the food, so he fooled the handler.
Ah. And learn more tips with Never Get Busted, if you can find those videos.
Yeah, Barry Cooper, he's been doing live sessions.
Really?
So
nice.
Yeah, he's gone, you know, he's got a production team going on, and he's been doing some live stuff, if you can find him.
Even better.
He's on social media.
I think I follow him on Facebook, but I don't see any of that stuff.
Major?
You said sometimes they ain't all bad when it goes to all everything goes to the dogs.
All right, Major, thanks for the call. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160 is the phone number. A little more from this story. The canine-centric mindset isn't new. Minnesota State Senator John Jasinski, also a Republican, previously raised the police dog discussion during a committee hearing, lamenting the thousands and thousands of dollars spent on training these furry narcs who will now have to retire due to cannabis legalization.
So a sunk cost argument.
Yeah.
We've already spent the money. Can't lose it now.
It's worth noting that the legal cannabis industry has already created hundreds of thousands of jobs for humans. Yet, it seems the careers of drug-sniffing dogs are held in higher regard by some politicians.
Also, how much money are they spending to keep people in prison on non-violent marijuana crimes?
Prison is somewhere around I think it's $35,000 a year on average.
So what the marijuana industry has to do is find jobs for dogs, and then it'll offset whatever the police force is claiming. Like, no, look, you've got this many police dogs. We've already employed this
they
many other dogs.
They could just be guard dogs at the dispensary.
There you go.
They could, yeah.
Boom. So solved.
Well, so put a job ad out. If you're a marijuana dispensary, put a job ad out for a former police canine guard dog and just start hiring them that way.
Training a police dog can cost between $12,000 and $15,000, according to the police website Police One. So that means that the real cost is between $6,000 and $7,500. It's just that the government is paying double for what anybody else can get for half price.
I was about to say, that's a lot of money to train a dog.
Yeah,
I know people that can do it for way less than that.
Not that much.
Yeah, but if they get the government contract, they'll charge that rate anyway.
Exactly. Because they're like, ooh, gravy train. I get that good taxpayer milk. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Milking them taxpayers for my cash cow.
Or just getting back what they've already paid into taxes, right, as a way out of it.
603-283-6160. If you'd like to comment on any of our topics tonight or bring up whatever's on your mind, you can join us. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. As the debt ceiling debate continues in Washington, D.C., House Majority Leader Steve Scalise from Louisiana is rejecting claims from Democratic detractors that the Republican plan is slashing veterans funding in their debt ceiling proposal.
Well, we've seen the Secretary of the VA trying to scare people and put out things that they know are completely false. Show me in the bill where it says any of those things. It doesn't. And the president knows that, Martha. The president doesn't want to talk about what's in the bill.
That audio courtesy of ABC's This Week. The plan that passed last week would return discretionary spending levels for most programs to fiscal 2022 levels with a 1% cap on annual increases. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy is in Israel helping them celebrate their 75th anniversary of independence. Tim Berg, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Studio, and we're taking your calls at 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live in the studio tonight. It's me, Captain
Nikki,
and Rich.
We have been talking about this story from the Free Thought Project where politicians are making the argument that weed needs to stay illegal so that the canine dogs can keep their jobs.
Boo.
I mean, it's one more argument, right? Regardless of which argument they bring up, they're always going to have a reason to keep drugs or weed illegal. But that's their shtick.
They're like, well, how are we going to imprison all these people if you keep, you know, legalizing stuff?
Yeah. It's a poor argument. Before we went to break, we were telling folks that the article says training a police dog can cost between $12,000 and $15,000, according to the police themselves. This doesn't include the salary of their human handler, but perhaps these politicians should focus on the bigger picture, such as the racist legacy and brutal attacks associated with police dogs. As reported by the Marshall Project, victims of police dog bites are disproportionately black men. One needs only search the word mall in the Free Thought Project archives to see the utterly horrifying cases of canine attacks on men, women, and yes, even children. Not surprisingly, we have reported on similar fear-mongering over police dogs in the drug war. In 2018, police in Illinois claimed, this is the part I mentioned that the article would talk about earlier, in 2018, police in Illinois claimed that legalizing cannabis would lead to the euthanization of all of their police canines.
Yay!
They actually tried to convince the public that if weed was legal, they would have to kill all of their dogs. Obviously, that never happened. So.
Oh, so that was in Illinois, and then they legalized it, and then, okay, so
they
just,
found something for the dogs to do.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
Yeah, gosh, I wonder whatever they found. Well, what could it be? All right. We have, there's a little more to this article, but we have some calls to get to. Let's start with Jerome in South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
Trump train.
I don't know. I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello. Hello, hello.
Hello, Jerome.
You say goodbye. I say hello. Goodbye, Tucker. Goodbye, Tucky Tuck. Goodbye, Tucker Carlson. Nice knowing you. Hey, I know who y'all should hire for another, for your show. Tucker Carlson!
Yeah, no thanks, I'll pass.
We couldn't afford him.
I'm just laughing over here because my sister's dog's name is Tucker, and we call him Tucky Tuck. So it's just funny that you're calling Tucker Carlson.
So this is
Tucky Tuck!
This is another topic, Jerome. This is another topic, Jerome, where you're probably jumping the gun with your level of excitement. Right?
Why is that?
Because he's going to land someplace that gives him a greater freedom of speech than being restricted to whatever Fox News is restricted.
And doesn't Jerome watch CNN? So what if Tucker ends up on CNN, Jerome? How about that?
Hey, they got rid of Don Lemon, but he didn't cost CNN. Wait for it. $787 million, as Mike Myers would say. By the way, after taxes, how much is that?
Not very much.
You mean after theft?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, what is it, like 30% on average?
Yeah, I think you might have like $500 left over after theft.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a settlement and a fine. Yeah. Right, so they're going to pay the whole thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with the details. So, also, I never watched Tucker at all. So, I didn't really even know who he was. Why not? Because mainstream media is full of lies, Jerome. All of it.
That's
CNN,
why they got the
Fox, NBC,
Fox,
CBS, all of them. Even the ones you watch, Jerome, it's all full of lies. You are a victim of getting sucked into what I like to call the adult soap opera of politics. Yeah.
So you conclude that it's Tucker Carlson's fault that they got fined, right? But what you discount is the revenue that Tucker Carlson brought in by having the highest rated show
not
in cable
anymore.
News and
not
how
anymore.
Fox's viewership and stock precipitously dropped upon his termination. And whoever gets him, truth or not, whoever gets him, right, is going to start banking on his audience, and he's going to make bank because he's going to get paid way more than what he was offered at Fox News.
What does that audience look like? Paint me a picture.
Middle-aged American white male.
You got that right, bro. Yeah, there you go. The
ones with the money to pay for the advertisers and the viewership.
Yeah, the old suckers. Yeah.
Either way.
Sucker like an old sucker.
Either way, whichever network gets them, right, whether it's OAN or Russia Today or does Al Jazeera still exist, who cares?
I think he should just do his own show. Like,
he could.
A la Joe Rogan, right? Just make his own podcast.
He could.
Get his own production team.
And then
get
he'll
on the
still
YouTube.
Be bringing in multiple millions of dollars on his own show.
Is he going to be hiring any women? He better not hire any women, especially Jewish women, because I heard he got a nasty little project. He's a nasty boy. Yeah, from that lady used to work on the show. He's a nasty boy. Don't turn your
Jerome, why do they
all?
Yeah.
Why do you even pay attention to this particular individual at all?
Well, because I despise Republicans,
Yeah, but that's not good. You know,
then your enthusiasm
not good for the heart.
Then your enthusiasm is misplaced because he's going to end up way better off than he previously was.
Yeah.
And you're going to be very, very excited about that.
I got another name.
It's dumb.
Surprise look. Well, Nikki Haley, if she wants something bad to happen to Joe Biden, so the Republicans can get in office. But I don't know. Something bad
could happen to Joe Biden as he's trying to walk off of Air Force One.
Hey, Jerome, thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Apparently, that chick he just mentioned came to Keene. He was at Tempesta's.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, they have those types of events there. Jerome is so scattered sometimes, man. Like, he can't stay focused. Like we'll ask him a question, he won't even answer, and then he'll just jump to, like, whatever thing is coming to his mind. And it's like, dude, this is a conversation. It's not Jerome Hour.
It was a foolish move on Fox's part to fire him financially.
Absolutely.
Right. And he's going to be better off, and Jerome's thrilled about that.
I mean, mainstream media has been dying for, well, since the dawn of the internet, really.
Yeah.
They have been slow to react to the market. They have been slow to get up to speed with the rest of the market. And these other media technologies are just blowing them out of the water.
And his CNN guy, Don Lemon, right, got fired for being racist to another minority.
Yeah. So it's not really a great comparison, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, it's funny. Like I said, they're all the same. Who cares?
Let's go to an unscreened caller. You are on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Hello, this is Melvin.
Hey, Melvin. Where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from Virginia.
Okay.
Chesapeake, Virginia.
You're live on the air. What's on your mind?
I love the conversation about the dogs, the canines, and then about their work.
Okay.
I just had a few points. Thinking about the work that they put in, if you can remember back, whether it's recreational or security or work dogs, you remember the dachshunds? They used to use those for hunting to go into foxholes?
Yeah, yeah. Wiener dogs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the beagles.
Let's keep it clinical.
You remember the beagles?
Like the rock group?
That was recreational. And then you talked about the German Shepherd. There's one dog that I have not heard of in a long time. Is where are the Dobermans?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't seen a Doberman. Do they still breed Dobermans?
They do.
Doberman in...
Yeah, they
I
do.
Know some
they,
people with Dobermans.
They clip their tails and their ears still.
Oh, I hate
and,
that.
Yeah.
My mom did that. Because we had Dobermans.
Remember the movie? Mm-hmm.
Everyone else is too squeamish. Mom's like, give me the knife.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
They had the Dobermans robbing banks.
Yeah, Dobermans were sort of the feared dog for a while in the media. They were like, all the media was pushed, oh, my gosh, Dobermans are evil. And then somehow that switched to Rottweilers, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Dobermans.
I mean, pit bulls are still
at the top
of the list.
They were used for home security, but I never seen them used in, like, police security.
No, I don't. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, usually Dobermans were like the quintessential guard dog, right?
Yeah.
You got a junkyard or something, it's going to be guarded by Dobermans.
Dobermans are more like mobster dogs, whereas like the German Shepherds are like fed dogs.
Seems to be the case.
Well, I just thought that was an interesting topic. I just thought I'd put that out there. I love your show.
Hey, we appreciate you. Thanks for the call, man. 603-283-6160 if you would like to join us here on Free Talk Live. I do want to tell you guys, before we go on, that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. Dash is digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. I've been using, they have a companion app to their wallet. It's called Dash Direct. And what they do is they leverage the gift card community. So you want to go out to a chain restaurant, you can actually pay with Dash using the Dash Direct app. And it comes out in the form of a gift card. So you just go ahead and use their app. It spits out a gift card number. You write it on the back of your check when the waitress brings it to you, and you go, hey, will you put that in as a gift card? And they do, and they come back. They're like, yep, it's all good. And you're like, sweet, thanks. And that's it. It's done. It's instant. I've had very, very good results using their app just here in Keene, much less anywhere else. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% tax by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization, a DAO, if you will. If you're following cryptocurrency, you've heard the word DAO. Dash was the first one. DAS Direct also allows for discounted purchases at national retail. That's the other thing about the app, is that when I use it to like buy a dinner at a chain restaurant or something like that, depending on the chain, I'll get a discount. So if my bill comes up to, you know, like $40 or something, I might only spend $35 in Dash or $38, depending on what the level of discount is, how much percent. But still, that's less than what I would have spent. So why not? Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available. And thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn all about Dash. Again, Dash.org. All right. Returning to this article, there's just a little bit more here about the canines. In 2018, police in Illinois claimed legalizing cannabis would lead to the euthanization of all their police canines. That obviously never happened. When canines retire, many are adopted by their handlers as pets. They don't receive pensions, but some organizations offer funds for their medical bills. We can't say for sure how these retired canines adjust to their new lives, but chances are they're more than happy to sniff other dogs' butts instead of drugs.
Yeah.
I'm guessing
I'm sure.
Accurate. The absurdity of prioritizing drug-sniffing dogs' careers over human lives and the potential benefits of cannabis legalization is beyond comprehension. With the countless jobs created, tax revenue generated, and the reduction of the harms caused by cannabis prohibition, anyone who still stands in its way is proving they want to be on the wrong side of history. I couldn't agree more. The drug war is over. Drugs won. Get over it.
Yeah, except that, you know, the focus is always on marijuana, except in Oregon. Right.
I mean, a bunch of states now have legalized it, not just Oregon and Washington and Colorado, a whole bunch of states. Like,
understood, but Oregon has legalized more.
Right? Oregon is sort of blazing the trail, no pun intended,
right.
Not the Oregon Trail. You have died of dysentery. No.
Right. So the states that have already gotten marijuana legalized, right, the work is not done, right?
They have
get the rest
to do.
Going. There's more to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you might have made a few hippies happy. But, you know.
Those cokeheads need your support, too.
They do. And those heroin fiends.
Yes.
You know, and the meth heads.
Right.
You know. The Silk Road proved that the drug trade can be safe and without violence. Right? The government's just unwilling to allow that particular method,
I mean,
to exist.
Pre-prohibition showed that the drug trade could be safe and without violence.
Okay, sure.
Right?
Sure.
Go down to the corner drug mart and bring me my vial of heroin, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Right?
You used to be able to, like, send your kid out for that.
Yeah,
right.
Why not?
Yeah.
That was fine for as long as it lasted.
Oh, man. All right.
And Jimmy didn't get hopped up on heroin on the way home because he knew better.
I haven't even teased our number two story.
The number two story.
We do have a number two story tonight.
Of course we do.
As we try to do every Sunday here on Free Talk Live.
We try to do a number two story.
Before we get to that story, though.
Wait, you can't put a story in between.
The number two story doesn't have to be second in place. It just has to be the number two story.
All right.
Right?
I mean, no. I mean, that's part of the... It's part of the bit. It's the number two story.
It is the number two. It could be the fifth story of the evening.
It's a double entendre.
Okay. It would still be the number two story.
Right. It works with the double entendre.
Our listeners are like, okay, what are these guys talking about? Number two story?
The number two story.
Like, how can it be? All right, let's just get right into it. Number two story.
There. Thank you.
From RT.com. I feel like we should wait. No?
Okay. I can't wait. We got to go.
All right. Got to go.
She cannot hold it any longer.
On with it, Captain.
We must get to the number two story.
Prairie dog in the number two story. Okay.
Just keep it clinical.
Well, that's at least, anthropological?
Okay.
I don't know. From RT.com.
Too many big words tonight.
Or anthology and anthropological. Yeah. Secret $1.6 billion submarine plans found in a pub toilet.
In the pooper.
Britain's Royal Navy has launched a probe into the incident. Our number two story. The plans of the torpedo mechanism for the Royal Navy's newest nuclear-powered submarine were found lying on the floor inside of a bathroom stall in a pub, British tabloid The Sun reported.
Wait, on the floor or in the toilet?
In the loo.
In the loo,
floor
right there.
Of the bathroom.
Think of the stall.
Yes.
Yeah. Their toilet is our bathroom. I get it.
It would have been funnier if it was in the water because that's what submarines are.
But, yeah, exactly. Know. Silly Brits.
If the log rolls over, we're all going to die. Ever hear that joke? Okay. It's toilet humor for sure. The files regarding HMS Anson, an astute class vessel, were reportedly marked official sensitive, the second level in the UK government's three-tier classification scheme.
Wow. They've only got three tiers in the UK?
Yeah. People handling official sensitive information must abide by the need-to-know principle, especially if documents might be shared outside of a routine or well-understood business process.
You know, like in the loo.
The Ministry
of Justice. I'm going to go right home after the pub. I can take these secret documents with me.
Yeah. Oh, man, I've had a couple of beers. I feel it's time to move my bowels. I think I'll just take this into the John. Right? Need some reading material. Yeah. Newspapers are gone, right?
I mean,
maybe he left his phone at home. Probably can't have a phone in his top secret security clearance office.
To be fair, if he was in the pub with the documents and he had to go to the John, right, better to take it with him than leave it at the bar. Out in the open. Right?
Maybe. I mean,
it should not leave his possession.
In the event that he remembers to take it back with him.
Understood.
It did leave his possession.
Understood. But that, I'm assuming that was accidental, whereas like, oh, I got to go use the bathroom. Let me just leave these top secret documents right here on my table while I go handle my business. Seems like a worse offense.
I am routinely surprised, though, at the number of people who we'll go to a restaurant bar, you know, somewhere serving booze or whatever, and they'll get up to go to the John and just leave whatever, their phone, their wallet.
Yeah, right, you know, very trusting.
I've seen a repeated number of people, women specifically, who just leave their drink sitting there, and you know they're there alone, you know.
Yeah.
And so like anybody could drop whatever.
Trying to get raped
now. Now, there's something to be said about different environments, like seeing that happen here in Keene, New Hampshire. This is a small town. It's a high-trust environment. The odds of somebody doing anything to your drink here, way low. But in the big city of Seattle, Washington, I saw like about the same level of occurrence. There wasn't like a dip in this level of occurrence. In the big city where you don't even know who's sitting next to you, like, that to me is a little unsafe. That's always bad OPSEC.
I'm always amazed at how many stories pop up about people leaving firearms in the restroom.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because when you think about it, you're taking off your belt, depending on how it's holstered.
Okay.
I mean, I know when I'm using the restroom,
you set it on top of something, you're like, I don't need that as I leave.
I mean, I either, hold it or set it on top of something, but you better remember it when you leave the stall.
I did that with a cell phone once. I was taking a really long drive across the country and stopped at the wayside, hit the John, and I left my cell phone sitting on the little shelf that's in there. And like, I just walked out, I washed my hands, I got in the car, I started driving away, and I got to I'm like, oh my God, I got to turn around. And then I hammered it. I totally broke the law in so many ways. I hammered it, and I had to get off on one exit, jump back over, and get down the other way, get off on another exit, come back up, and get to the back. It was still there when I got there.
Nice.
I was like, wow, that's amazing. I thought I was SOL, but no. I got lucky.
You did.
It doesn't happen to many people. I'm surprised somebody didn't immediately occupy the stall that I was in and be like, oh, look, a cell phone. You know?
Well, and that might just be like the courtesy of humans in the area.
Yeah.
Right? I've been in a bathroom where someone has left their cell phone and was going to turn it in to somebody.
Right.
But then you got the knock on the door like, is my cell phone in there? You can get it when I'm done.
Right, yeah. I'm taking pictures with it right now.
Speaking of our number two story.
Upload to the cloud.
According to the newspaper, the files were discovered in a pub in the port town of Barrow in Furness, Northern England. The establishment is located not far from the BAE Systems shipyard where naval vessels are built. It was quite a lively night, the source who claimed to have spotted the document said. The pub was full of people from the docks, military and civilian. I went into the toilets and the plans were lying on the floor of the cubicle with the lanyard. Anyone could have found them, the source said.
He took off the lanyard to use the toilet?
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, that you could just, like, move to the side.
With the British people, things are a little different, right? Okay. Like, they don't have a trunk of a car, they have a boot.
Understood, but right. It's not like they have, like the Japanese squat toilets where it's a little bit...
Right, but I mean, like, lanyard might be different. I don't know. I don't live in Britain, I don't know these things, so, you know, I don't know. It could be poor writing, too.
Okay.
The files reportedly included a description of the submarine's hydraulics, which control torpedo hatches, steering, and buoyancy. A Navy spokesperson told The Sun the files were just generic training documents. Then why were they marked classified?
That's the cover-up right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Wink, wink.
Yeah. But he added the circumstances of their discovery would certainly be investigated. Right. Just training documents, but we're going to investigate training documents. Right?
Well, if it's training documents, that dude is totally not getting the real job.
Right, yeah, no kidding.
You left the training documents.
You didn't pass.
You failed. Back to the mailroom.
Yeah, or like clean some toilets or something. The Navy describes HMS Anson, which joined the fleet last year, as the cutting edge of the United Kingdom's military capabilities and the world's most advanced hunter-killer submarine.
So basically what the United States had 10 years ago.
In February, the vessel sailed to Naval Base Clyde in Scotland for sea trials. There you have it. First comment in the article says, and that's where it belongs. Good toilet paper for taking a huge, well, you know what.
I feel like copy paper would be a little rough.
Yeah, I mean...
In a pinch.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
In a pinch off? 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live is coming up. Why are people getting throat cancer? We'll find out. This is Free Talk Live.
Should ask.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.